You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
I'm grateful that we can share and come around the word together. Now, my friends, a couple of years ago, I learned or discovered a new sport. I actually did it for the first time with the young adults here at the church, and we went indoor rock climbing. Now, if you've been indoor rock climbing, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, though, that's all right. I'll explain it briefly. So what happens is you generally go with a friend, and you both have a harness. One person is the belayer, they stand at the bottom, and the other person, say that would be me, is climbing up the wall. The person who is belaying you, they sort of control the tension and the slack on the rope as you climb up. But their biggest responsibility is when you get to the top, they help lower you down so you don't come crashing down to the ground at the top. So first time doing it, out with the young adults, I've got someone belaying me at the bottom and climbing up, and I get to the top, and you know, I'm at the top and you're kind of like, oh, it's a bit of a way down that way. It's a bit far down to get down. But when you're at the top there, what they tell you in the instructions is there's a moment that you've actually got to sit back into your harness and let go of the wall so that your friend can lower you down. Because if you're holding on, you'll whack against the wall as you're coming down into those hand holes and foot holes. So this is me at the top of the wall going like, Have you got me? Like, can I let go? And I wasn't sure if I could trust that when I sat into that harness and let go of the wall, that I wasn't going to fall all the way down to the ground. Well, the good news is, obviously I didn't fall away to the ground because I'm here standing in front of you, but I made it back down. I could trust my friend to belay me and bring me back down to the ground. And you know, the more times I did this, the more times you climb up the wall, I end up finding going up the wall is the easy part. It's the actual trusting to someone to hold you to bring you back down safely that I found a bit more challenging. But over time, as I went up that wall, I realized, oh, wow, I've built that trust in my friend who's belaying me. I know that when I sit back in the harness, I'm not going to come rolling down the ground down that rope. They're going to bring me down slowly and gradually. And I was reminded of this experience of my first indoor rock climbing experience as I prepared for today. I believe it's a bit like how our journey of trusting God can look like. You know, initially we were a bit hesitant, holding on to those footholds and handholds as tightly as we can. God, can I really trust you with this? Or do I have to hold on to this? Do I have to have my hands and feet holding so tightly? Or can I let go and trust you that as I sit back in this harness, you will control it, you will help me down, you will lead me and guide me? See, this journey of trust, like my journey of going up those walls multiple times, is not something that happens overnight. It took a bit of time. With experience, with time, and with taking those steps of trusting, I grew in my journey of trust coming up the wall and coming down the wall. And it's the same for you and I as we trust God. It's a journey. It's not something that happens overnight, but it comes as we continually do it and practice doing it. But I can speak from experience, my friends, that trusting God has brought such joy, such freedom, such peace, such provision, and such comfort in my life. I love what it says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 to 8. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. What a wonderful promise. Blessed are those who trust in God, that you and I can thrive as we trust in God, that we cannot be worried, not by worried by long months of drought or heat, and remain fruitful. See, all these were natural challenging circumstances, but my friends, the promise here is that you and I can thrive, remain fruitful, and not be worried despite the natural circumstances we face. So what is trust? The dictionary defines trust as a firm belief in the reliability, truth, or ability of someone or something. In our world today, we can put trust in many things. In ourselves, in our own ability, in our own independence. We can put trust in our finances, our careers, our partners, our relationships. There's so many things we can put our trust in. The Bible, however, tells us to put our trust in God. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. Psalm 28, 7. Psalm of David, he says, the Lord is my strength and shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me and my heart is filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. John 14:1, Do not let your hearts be troubled, afraid, cowardly. Believe confidently in God and trust in Him. Have faith, hold on to, rely on it, keep going, and believe also in me, says Jesus. So we see these multiple scriptures talk about or instruct us about trusting God. But what does that actually look like? How can you and I go and trust in God? There are plenty of ways we can do it, but today I want to focus on one, being built on the Word of God. So if you're taking notes this morning, the title of my message is Solid Foundation, Built on the Rock. So what is this link between being built on the Word and trusting God? Joyce Meyer puts it wonderfully in her book, Unshakable Trust, that talks about her journey of trusting God. She says, trusting God's word is equivalent to trusting Him. Don't just read the words to fulfill a daily religious obligation, but instead approach it reverently, understanding that it is full of power. Receive it as if it is your daily food, because it is the food we need for our spiritual strength. In these passages in Matthew 5 and 6, Jesus gives instructions on how we are to live, about loving one another, not judging each other, not worrying, living a life of freedom, giving to those in need. We see a similar account of this sermon in Luke 6 as well. In both these accounts, Jesus concludes by drawing a parallel between following his teaching and being built on strong foundation. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, building on a solid foundation. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rains come in torrents and the flood waters rise and the winds beat against their house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains come and the winds beat against the house. The land in Jesus' time, now that's modern-day Palestine, was dry and desert-like. When it rained, the land was only able to absorb a limited amount of water. So when the rains came, and they often came in torrents, like it said in this scripture, if they weren't built on strong foundations, houses would get washed away in the rain. Hence the importance of Jesus comparing to building on solid rock. Now remember what I said that previously, in these previous two chapters, Jesus had delivered the Sermon on the Mount. So he was telling people how they should live. He then compares telling people how to live or giving them instructions on how to live to being a wise person who builds his house on the rock. He draws a parallel between someone who hears and follows these instructions that he's given to one who is built on the rock and stands firm despite the floods. My friends, the same applies for you and I today, that you and I can hear and follow Jesus' words and stand on the rock. See, the reality is, the news I have to deliver to you that you probably already know, is storms will come in our lives. In verse 27, it doesn't say if or maybe the storms come. Perhaps the storms will come. It says when the storms come. The reality is we will face storms in our life at some stage. Loss, grief, stress, anxiety, relationship issues, they're all real things that people go through, that we go through or may be going through at the moment. But the great news I have for you this morning, my friends, is hearing and following Jesus' words will help us stand firm, help us be unshaken when the floods, when the storms come. I'll say that again. Hearing and following Jesus' words will help us stand firm, unshaken, when the floods come. So let's look at two points from this passage of scripture in Matthew 7 that we can practically apply to our lives. Point number one, if you're taking notes, is come to Jesus. Luke also gives a similar account of building on a solid foundation in Luke chapter 6. Interestingly, though, in his account, he words what Jesus says slightly different at the start. Jesus actually adds, a come to me. So we see in Luke chapter 6, verse 47, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. The Greek word for come used in this verse is the same used in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, which we heard Tim read at the start. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. There's an invitation there to come to Jesus. In his account on the Sermon on the Plain, as they call it in Luke, he says, come to me. My friends, if you're weary and carrying heavy burden, coming to Jesus is the first best step you can take, acknowledging that you can't do it all yourself and that you need him. I believe this is a journey that many of us have been on. It's also a journey I've had to go on myself, coming to the end of myself, acknowledging that I need him and saying, help me, Lord, I need you. See, I grew up in church, so I had a level of faith. I moved out of home when I was 17, almost 18, to start uni and start study, moved to Adelaide, and finally here to Geelong for my first full-time job. Growing up, my parents had always trained us to be fairly independent, fairly sort of capable of doing things. But once I started working, I started to think, you know, started to become quite determined or quite wanting to be very independent and self-reliant. You know, in my heart, I was like, yeah, you know, I want to be financially independent. I want to be able to look after myself and I want to be able to provide for myself and all these things that come with wanting to be independent. Now, please hear my heart here. There's nothing wrong with independence. Being capable, being organized, you know, able to do things is not a bad thing. The danger was, though, that I was putting too much reliance on myself and I wasn't trusting in God for things. I was trusting on myself and my own abilities. In 2012, a series of things started to happen. Broken relationships, health issues, increased stress at work. And I suddenly came to myself and went, oh, wow. Actually, my independence isn't helping me here. I'm not going so well. I'm not traveling that well with my independence. My self-reliance can only get me so far. And I had to take a step and go, wow, Lord, I need you. I need you in this moment. I need you in my life. And taking that first step of coming to Jesus and saying, I need you, that brought such transformation to my life. I had to come to the end of myself, come to Jesus and say, I need you. And as I did, my friends, he took me on this amazing journey, a journey that I'm still on today of learning to trust him, of learning to know who he is, a journey of freedom, a journey of restoration. And can I encourage you, that's not just for me, my friends, that's for you and I. That as we come to him, he is a good God. He is so committed to refining us and making us more like him. He is so committed to showing you who he is, how good he is, how trustworthy he is. And it's for you and I this morning that we can have this. See, Jesus came so you and I could have abundant life. But the reality was I wasn't living this abundant life. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may enjoy life and have it in abundance, to the full till it overflows. How amazing, my friends. See, he doesn't promise that your life will be cruisy, easy, problem-free, no worries at all. You can cruise through life as much as we would love to do that. But his promise is a full and abundant life, despite the challenges. As we follow Jesus, my friends, we can experience this full, abundant life. So can I encourage you, whatever you may be going through, whatever situation you might find yourself in, first point, come to Jesus. But what does this practically look like for you and I today? It may be taking that first step, like I had to, of acknowledging that you actually needed him. That may be something you've prayed. You know, growing up in church, I prayed the salvation prayer. But there was a moment when I came to the end myself as an adult that I actually go, oh, wow, this is what it means to follow you. I need to come to you for myself, realizing that you are Lord of my life. And that was a moment I had to take for myself. Maybe you've never done that before. There will be an opportunity for you at the end of this service to do that, to say, come to God, I need you, God, and acknowledge him. Perhaps you're carrying burdens, heavy burdens, and the walk seems hard. Coming to Jesus could be talking to him in prayer, laying it at his feet, casting your cares on him, saying, I can't carry this anymore. Would you carry it for me? Would you help me carry it? Maybe it's a challenging situation you're going through that you need to talk to a pastor or a trusted friend who will give you wise counsel, who will lead you to the word, lead you to truth, and show you the way to go. I remember I had to do this with Pastor Rachel. She'd blazed a path that I was starting to walk on recently, and I had to go to her for wise counsel and say, I'm actually struggling to make a decision here. What do you think? I'm carrying this burden. It's stressing me out. And she gave me wise counsel for that. See, coming to Jesus can look so different in so many different ways. But whatever it is, my friends, can I encourage you this morning? Come to Jesus. He is there for you. He will supply all your needs. He will equip you for what he has called you to do. So point one, come to Jesus. Secondly, from this passage, we see hear and follow Jesus' words. If we look at Matthew 7:24 and 26 and compare them, in Matthew 7:24 it says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. In verse 26, comparatively, it says, but anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on the sand. Now, the big point I want you to notice here is in both scriptures, it says anyone who listens or hears. See, both individuals heard. They both heard the word of God. The New Living Translation uses different words, listen and hears, for the two verses. But the original word in the Greek is the same. Akouo, which means to consider what is being said, to understand or perceive what is being said. So what does this mean for you and I today? We need to hear Jesus' words, to consider what he is saying, and to gain understanding. But how do we practically do that? First one's really simple, getting into the Word, reading the Bible. It could be reading the physical Bible, reading it on your phone. Maybe you're an auditory learner, listening to sermons or podcasts, listening to the Word, playing in your car, playing in your headphones, at work, whatever it may look like for you, getting into the Word. How else can we do it? Being connected to other followers of Jesus. First step done, guys. You are here at church this morning or joining us online. We're getting around the Word, being hearers of God's Word, listening to His Word, being connected to connect groups, Bible studies, whatever it may look like. Thirdly, asking the Holy Spirit to speak to you. He is the one who will guide you into all truth. He will bring revelation from the words that you read on a page, on your phone, to life. John 16:13 says, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. What an amazing promise that we don't just have to read the words and take it as words, but the Holy Spirit will give us revelation of truth. He will give us understanding as we get into the Word. And fourthly, we can also hear the Word by declaring His Word over our lives. We heard this from Pastor Phil last week in Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing. What is told and what is heard comes by preaching of the message concerning Christ. The Greek word for message here is rhema, which is the spoken or uttered word. Friends, there is power in declaring the Word of God over our lives. The Bible was originally spoken before it was written, so it was spoken out verbally in places. Declaring the Word of God aloud in our lives, over our lives, takes it from being a written word to a living, active word in our lives. So can I encourage you, my friends, whatever it looks like, you know, these are four steps, there may be others, let's get into the Word. Let's be hearers of the Word. Getting into the Word was a big part of transformation in my life. Like I said, I grew up with the level of faith going to church. But in my 20s, I did a six-month discipleship training school with Youth with a Mission. Bevan and I were talking about this and how to describe a discipleship training school. It's pretty much like an internship of learning to be a follower of Jesus, I suppose, if I can describe it simply. One of the challenges the leaders gave us in this school was actually to read the Bible from cover to cover, which is something I'd never done in my life. What they challenge us to do is not just to read it for the sake of reading it, but actually to allow Holy Spirit to speak to you in the Word. Ask Him to give you understanding, but also read it aloud when you can. Read it verbally out loud so you can hear it as well. Now, the challenge was set, and I love a good challenge, guys, so I approached it. Yeah, challenge on. I'm going to try and read the Bible in 6 months. But little did I know the transformation it would bring to my life. See, and it started as a challenge, but ended up being a journey of transformation in my life. I received revelation of who God was, His true nature, His character, His goodness. Where there were areas of doubt in my life, where there's areas where I doubted His goodness, His faithfulness, He brought revelation of truth through His Word. He helped me understand who He really was, His trustworthiness, His goodness. Through His Word, He showed me and helped me understand who I was, my identity, that I was created in His image, that I was loved unconditionally. He helped me understand my purpose and my calling all through that 6 months I spent in the Word. Friends, again, this opportunity, this invitation isn't just for me. I'm not unique in the sense that this is only something I can go on. This invitation is for each of us, for every one of us, that your journey will look different to mine. Your journey of reading the word, hearing the word will look different to mine because God will speak to us individually. But whatever it may look like on your unique journey, can I encourage you? Let's be people who get into the word. Let's be hearers of the word. Getting into the word, my friends, is super useful, but it doesn't end there. As we compared verse 24 and 26 before, remember what I said, that both individuals were people who heard. So they both heard the word. The man who built his house on the solid rock, though, was likened to someone who both heard and followed Jesus' teaching. The man who was said to be the foolish man who built the sand also heard, but he didn't follow Jesus' teaching. So this morning, hearing and doing go hand in hand. Hearing and following God's word go hand in hand. This is echoed in James chapter 1, verse 22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. You know, a good analogy of this is going to the physio. Now, I've had a few knee injuries over the time. Anyone been to the physio before, had to go and see the physio? A few of us here. Now, when you go and see them, generally, you know, they do their treatment, they do whatever they need to do, and then they give you a list of exercises. Three or four exercises. They often even draw pictures. My physio draws pictures so that you know where to put your hands and legs and all those things. And they say, you know, go away this week, do three sets of 20 of exercise A, B, and C, and come back next week and we'll see how you're going. Now, I'd love to say I'm super disciplined and I do all these exercises all the time. I'm sure all of you do. You're not like me. But to be honest, they'll say to do it every day, every second day. Maybe I'll do it once or twice. And then you go back to them the next week and they're like, oh, how's it all going? You know, are you feeling better? Oh, yeah, so-so. Well, did you do the exercises? And then you maybe stretch it to, oh, yeah, did it every second day, every third day, maybe once. But that's what it can be like sometimes. You know, we've heard the instruction. We've been given a pretty sheet of paper with the pictures. We know what we need to do. But then we don't go to do it and we don't see the benefit of it. So then, my friends, how do we hear and do? What does this look like? How can we hear and do the word of God? I think the Message version of this passage describes it beautifully, describes it lovelily well. That's not a real word, I don't think. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 25. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. These are foundational words. Words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on the solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, or tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. Friends, the word of God, Jesus' teachings are a foundation to build your life upon. An instruction manual. This is an instruction manual of how we were created to live. It leads us and guides us. It says this in 2 Timothy verses 16 to 17. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. In Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp that guides my steps, a light that shows the path I should take. What amazing promises, my friend, that is useful to teach us, that it guides our steps, that it shows us the path we should take. So once we've read the word of God, there is action that comes with it. We want to be hearers, but also doers of the word of God. But what does that look like in our everyday life? How do we be hearers and doers of the word? My friends, the Bible forms the framework of how you and I can deal with everyday situations in our lives. Let's be super practical and look at an example. So let's just say I'm worried, I'm stressed, I'm anxious about something, a test, a situation in my life, a work situation, a relationship struggle. I open up the word. I read Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Amazing promise in that scripture. See, I've heard the word, I've read the word, but now I can do it. It says, don't worry, pray about everything. I can pray. Tell God what you need. Lord, I'm worried about this stressful situation. I'm worried how it's going to work out. I'm worried whether I will be able to get through it. Thank God for all He has done. But I thank You, Lord, that You are sitting on the throne. I thank You that You reign sovereign, that I know You're still in charge of the situation. They're all actions. Prayed about it, tell God what you need, and thanked Him. But then the promise when I do that, how amazing in verse 7, a peace that exceeds all understanding, a peace that goes beyond natural circumstances. My friends, that's the power of the Word of God today. So friends, let's grow together in being hearers and doers of the Word. Like most things in life that are action-based, we get better with practice. It's the same with the Word of God. I compare this to Pastor Bevan, Arzi, and I when we were setting up the umbrellas for the Christmas service that was outside. Now, the umbrellas come with like the umbrella bit, but they also have this like 25 kilogram stand to stop them from getting blown away in the wind. So we took them out of the boxes and we're wanting to assemble them. And I think at first we were kind of looking at them and going, oh, where does this part go? Where does that part go? Now, they came with an instructional manual, but we didn't look at the instructional manual to start off with because we thought we could put it together. Eventually, though, we came to the instruction manual, and I think Pastor Bevan straight away was like, oh, yeah, this piece goes here, blah, 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 blah. And 2 minutes, he had one put together. We'd assembled it. Here's the guy. Good point, Phil. But the even more amazing thing is, once we'd done it one or twice based off the manual, we didn't need the manual each time. We knew where each piece fitted onto that stand. We knew how to put it together, and we were like, oh, I can put this together. And within no time, we had those 5 or 6 umbrellas set up. And it's the same with the Word of God. The more we practice and hearing and doing God's Word, the more natural it becomes. See, we didn't need the manual every time because we knew the instruction. We knew what we needed to do next. So my friends, when the storms of life come, as we are grounded in the Word of God, as we hear and do God's Word, we don't have to go to it every time and be like, or Google, what scripture can I read about peace today? Anyone else do that? I do that sometimes. We will know the Word of God. We will know Your peace that surpasses all understanding will guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So let's be people who do that, my friends, that when the storms of life come, we can stand firm because we know His Word and we can put it into practice. The storm may still be all around us, but we can stand firm on His Word, on His truth. So as I wrap up this morning, my friends, what is God saying to you? What is God speaking to your heart personally? Now, I truly believe that God will speak to you individually about what is your take-home point for this message. Perhaps you're facing storms in your life. You are weary and heavy laden. The invitation for you this morning is come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Maybe God is saying to you, this is the year you need to get grounded in the Word, to start reading the Word, make it a habit to study the Word. Allow the Holy Spirit to help you with this. Perhaps you are grounded in the Word, you're well versed in the Word, but the challenge for you, the encouragement from Jesus is for you to be a doer of the Word, to work on putting those hand in hand. Yes, I hear the Word, but how do I do it? How do I apply it in my life? Be a hearer and a follower of the Word. Whatever it may be, my friend, can I encourage you today? Let's together in 21 grow together. I'm on this journey too. Let's grow together in being people who come to Jesus, who are hearers of the Word, who are doers of the Word. Let's pray, my friends. Lord God, I just thank You for Your goodness. I thank You for Your faithfulness and that You are trustworthy and good. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that You do what You can only do best, that You would speak to our hearts about areas You want us to grow in, areas that You want us to grow in, whether it's coming to You, being hearers of the Word, being doers of the Word, resting at Your feet.
speak to hearts, Holy Spirit, that as we go into this year, that you would equip us, that you would strengthen us, that you would give us the ability and the strength. For it is your grace that gives the ability and strength to be hearers and doers of the word. That we will walk in that freedom. We will walk in that restoration. We will walk in the fruitfulness and thrive despite storms, despite challenges, because we are built firm on the solid foundation, which is your word. So I pray a blessing upon each person, those watching online now or later time, and I just commit us into your hands that we will be grounded in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In a moment, church, the worship team is going to come and sing a song about building your life on his foundation. And this will be your opportunity to respond however God is speaking to your heart. Respond to him, whether you're at home watching online or you're here in the room. Respond to him. See, you're not responding to me. You're responding to the word that he is speaking into your life. So whatever God is saying to you this morning, respond to him. But before we do that, I want to give an opportunity to anyone here in this room, or also if you're watching online now, later date. I said at the start, come to Jesus. That was the first point. And you know, I had to come to Jesus. I had to acknowledge my need for him. And see, coming to Jesus is not complicated for the first time. It's actually really simple. All you do is say a prayer, acknowledging that you need him, acknowledging you can't do it yourself. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Simple prayer. Simple prayer we can all pray together, but the start of the most amazing journey that you will ever go on. So we're going to say that prayer together this morning, and the church will join us well as we pray this. So would you pray with me, friends? Dear God, I thank you that I can come to you. I acknowledge that I need you. I confess that Jesus, you are Lord. And I believe that God raised you from the dead. And I thank you that because of that, I am saved. I ask you to come into my life and be Lord of my life. I commit my life to you and I want to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or you prayed it today as a prayer of rededication, congratulations, guys. We are so excited for you. This is the first step, like I said, of an amazing journey. But we don't want to leave you there. We want to equip you for this journey. So if you go to gc.org.au/first-steps, if you're watching online or even if you're here, or if you come to speak to Pastor Bev and I after service, we would love to equip you on this amazing journey that we're all on together.